We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, is back with us. Pro Football Focus rated and graded Kenny Pickett as the best college football quarterback at the college football halfway point. Is Steve Palazzolo starting to buy into the idea that the Pitt Panther quarterback is going to be a good NFL quarterback?
I know yet. I haven't watched him closely through that lens yet, but the grades seem to be good in a year where no one else is good. So,
do maybe. The college grades translate to NFL success, Steve?
I mean, nothing's perfectly one-to-one, but it's more good than bad. We'll say that. There's definitely parts of the data that you would look at more than others as far as projecting forward, like avoiding negative plays and various things like that. But, yeah, overall, our quarterback grades have been more good than bad, but we've certainly had a few players that have exceeded expectations, like a Josh Allen or Justin Herbert at this point.
Steve, does size matter? And by that, I mean hand size. Because Kenny Pickett's hands, we know, not that big. That's why he wears two gloves.
No, it's you just don't want to have 9-inch hands. Once you're over 9, you're fine. So if he has 9-inch hands, it shows up in weather games every now and again.
Do we know
Jared
this
Goff,
pony?
He throws like, he's like a Jared Goff. If you see him throwing in the rain, he looks like he's throwing a pie. Like the ball's just resting on his hand and he just, you know, pushes it. I'll show you a video. There's a great one from last year in the rain. It was actually a really good throw, but a rain game against Washington last year. So Goff struggles throwing in the rain, and those tiny hand guys sometimes struggle in weather, but that's about it.
Steve, I know you do look at the college quarterbacks a lot once we get to the break between the college season and the NFL season. Do the guys that make the big jump, Burrow made a big jump, Pickett's making a big jump, is that buyer beware, generally speaking, or is that something that portends NFL success?
It's interesting because I think it goes both ways, because Dwayne Haskins was it depends on what the big jump is too, because Pickett's had he's played a lot of football and then made the big jump. I looked at guys who just had that one breakout season last year, like Kyler Murray somewhat came out of nowhere. He was a top recruit, but he had no real college success until that one year. Burrow had an okay year, then a great year. It's kind of hit or miss. Mitchell Trubisky was kind of like a Dwayne Haskins. Both guys didn't do much, and then they broke out. Those guys struggled. Kyler's been good. It's honestly been about 50-50. Mac Jones, you could even say, you know, he was a breakout guy too. So it's probably leaning toward it. It's a really small sample that we have, at least, where, you know, the breakout guy tends to be right now it's leaning toward pretty good, but then you have guys like Trubisky and Haskins who didn't really pan out with their breakout season.
When PFF is...
Well, the book's not written on Haskins yet, Chris. Let me just jump in and say that.
I thought you had moved on from Haskins, and your wandering eye had gone over to Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, it has, and it's still there.
Okay.
Big time.
So don't go wandering back to Dwayne Haskins. So I'm really curious about this. Pickett's put up big numbers, and a couple of those games have been against, you know, a New Hampshire, for example, where you expect that the enormous disparity in talent is going to explain some of that. How much do you guys rank, like... Say he has a game against Clemson that statistically is not spectacular, but it's a really solid game against a very good defense. Would that count more than Kenny Pickett, say, lighting up Georgia Tech, for example?
I think all of the data points matter. Obviously, you'd rather see a guy play well in the bigger games, but I feel like those are the places I've made mistakes in the past, too. Like, Dak Prescott didn't look good against Alabama, in part because they're Alabama. I mean, you could go back to Peyton Manning's career, and he has games... Like, he couldn't beat Florida and struggled against Florida. Yep. He ended up okay. So I think you can overweigh the good games. You can also, you know, even though you're playing New Hampshire, if you're under pressure and, you know, you're hitting a guy in stride and he only has a step of separation, like, you could still make NFL-caliber throws against a New Hampshire, right? Good old UNH. I think you can overweigh things if you tidy up the sample size too much.
Steve, we've had... both defensive coordinator Keith Butler and a former Steeler who now does TV work here this week pretty much come out and say Robert Spillane is a better run stopper than Devin Bush, which, if it's true, is a damning statement because the Steelers traded up to the 10th pick to get Devin Bush. What are you guys seeing from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, first off, on the trade up, I mean, that is the risk, right? And I think we probably talked about it at the time, or at least after that. It is a massive risk to ask a non-quarterback to be worth two players and to have that be a better move for your team. It just is. I mean, it's a massive risk, and especially a linebacker, you're just not gonna get that. You know, from a grading standpoint, yeah, all of our grades back that thought up. Devin Bush has a 37 run defense grade. Spillane's in the 60s. You know, Spillane did pretty well last year, I think, in that department, especially, you know, a few key plays. So, yeah, that's definitely what we're seeing. I also, you know, from a coverage standpoint, I'll say the Steelers do put a lot of pressure on their linebackers. They play a lot of zone-heavy coverages, which, you know, get attacked, and it's difficult, you know, to grade well in our system. So it's a challenging position at Pittsburgh, at linebacker. But, yeah, right now Devin Bush has not lived up to the hype either from a coverage standpoint or a run defense standpoint, really, since being drafted.
How big is the gap between he and Devin White, who he's always going to be compared to, and not just because they're inside linebackers taken in the first 10 picks with the same first name? Because I remember I would caution people, Steve, up until last year's playoff run, who said, oh, Devin White's so much better. You guys were not big Devin White fans for, I think, what, the first 2.5 seasons of his career, correct?
The grades are still really bad for Devin White. I would say of all of our grades, our linebacker ones, I always trust our grades. I think the linebacker ones are challenging at times. They're less consistent, we'll say, okay, from year to year. But Devin White is one of those guys where he makes a lot of his flash plays as a pass rusher, which is actually the easiest thing for a linebacker to do. It's the fewest snaps you spend blitzing, right? So Devin White's grades are still horrible because he has one of the highest percentage of negatively graded plays year after year at linebacker. And those are the plays that we tend to see that fans don't tend to see. Fans tend to see a run stop, a tackle, pass breakup or a sack. But, you know, when you're watching the game and there's that 15-yard pass and it's like, oh, look at that guy wide open over the middle. Chances are that's the linebacker, right? It's usually the linebacker, and you don't even think about it. It's just like, oh, there was a 15-yard pass, you know, first down. Devin White is out of position a ton, both in the run game and in the pass game. So he actually hasn't graded well. And he gets a ton of hype because he's fast and he has a lot of tackles and the whole thing, and he has a lot of sacks generally. So, yeah, Devin White hasn't performed well, much like, you know, he's grade-wise, he's been worse than Devin Bush. So I understand both sides of it. White's made a lot of positive plays. But, yeah, we've been certainly lower than the perception there because we do weigh the negative plays that I think other people are glossing over.
What are Steve Palazzolo's thoughts on the Browns going into tonight's game, the Steelers' next opponent? They've got the same record as Pittsburgh. Now they're really banged up. Is this still a lock to make the playoffs team? Are they still the team that should end up winning the AFC North? Where do you come down on them, Steve?
Yeah, I'm lower on them than I was at the beginning of the season. I did like them as the team to beat in the North. The injuries have hurt. The offensive line, you know, was supposed to be a strength, and it is, but they're, you know, missing both tackles the last week or two. So that's been trouble. Baker playing hurt, that's been trouble. And then I was really high on their secondary, or the way they built their secondary throughout this offseason. And they've had some struggles as far as coverage busts and, you know, giving up big plays. So I've soured a little bit on the Browns, but I do think they have built one of the better rosters in the NFL. They've built a deep roster, and that's being tested now with everybody hurt. So, yeah, I think the Browns, I think they'll get better defensively as the season goes on. They had so many new pieces back there. But we'll see how much they can handle the injuries. Yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing. If they can get through these next few weeks and get guys healthy, I think the Browns are still there in the end. But as I said before the season, too, I think the AFC North is tough. It's a really tough division right up there with the NFC West, maybe the two best divisions in football. So we'll see if the Browns get through these injuries the next couple of years. But I still like their roster overall.
Steve, if Case Keenum plays really well tonight and Mayfield pronounces himself ready to go for the Steelers game, but Keenum's coming off, say, like a clean three-touchdown game, you guys grade him out really well. If you were in Kevin Stefanski's spot, who would you be starting against Pittsburgh on Halloween?
Still Baker. It still has to be Baker. Even if Keenum has 5 touchdowns, and I still have enough data points on who Case Keenum is, I think, that, you know, I shouldn't overrate this random Thursday night game. Although it's in prime time, and if it happens in prime time, it's worth like 10, you know, 5 times. As,
I mean, doesn't Keenum have a better full season under his belt, you could argue, than Mayfield, his 2017 with the Vikings? I remember watching that guy thinking this dude.
With Stefanski as the quarterback.
This dude actually looks like a legitimate NFL player. It doesn't seem fluky what he's doing up there.
Keenum had a really nice 2017 season, but you'd have to say it's somewhat fluky because it's not in line with anything else in his career. So, yeah, he was really good that season with Minnesota. I would say, now, grading-wise, we had Baker higher last year and in his rookie season than what Keenum had. But, yeah, production-wise, I'd say it was comparable. But that was like 1 out of 5 seasons where Keenum's had an opportunity to start. So, yeah, I think Keenum's a high-end backup, and high-end backups are capable of putting together good games, but I think it's still has to be Baker Mayfield, even just for the long-term prospects in Cleveland. They have to figure out if he's going to be the guy going forward, and there's still some doubt if, you know, he should be the guy that they lock up long-term.
Are you starting to buy the Steelers as a playoff team?
No. Not yet.
What is the major reason you would say no for that?
I just don't trust the offense week in, week out. I mean, should I? I don't
fair.
Know.
No. No, we're with you,
seems
Steve.
Seems really fair. I got one more buy or sell, very corny ESPN-style question here.
Ooh.
Like very beautiful. Debate show. Stephen A. is ready to yell at you on this one. Buy or sell that the winner this week of Bengals-Ravens wins the AFC North?
If it's the Ravens, they win. Yeah. How's that? If it's the Ravens,
so you not
yes,
fully,
it's man, the Bengals,
so no. Are you not fully buying the Bengals yet? If they go into Baltimore and win, I would be pretty – I know they have a very tough schedule, tougher than Baltimore the rest of the way, but, man, I would be very impressed if they basically had 2 losses, one of which was one they probably should have won against Green Bay.
Oh, I would definitely be impressed. And here's what I would say, too. I think last year I predicted Joe Burrow was going to have this big win against the Steelers. And the first time I was wrong. But I still think about that, right? Like, Burrow is supposed to be the guy that changes the culture and makes the Bengals a team and a competitor. I mean, this is his opportunity, right? When he plays Pittsburgh, when he plays Baltimore, this is his opportunity. So if he went in there and did that, yeah, I mean, I'd be really encouraged. I'd also be a little discouraged every time I think back to that Green Bay game, if I'm a Bengals fan, that they should have won, right? I mean, they just really, really left an opportunity on the table to beat the Packers. And they should also think, oh, man, we're sitting here at 5-1 going into Baltimore. But, yeah, I think it'd be a great statement game for my hometown team over here, the Bengals. So, yeah, sure. I'll buy. Whoever wins this weekend, it's over. Season's over. AFC North chance.
Thank you. That's what we're looking for, Steve, so we can tweet that out.
Tweet it out.
Exactly.
Steve, listen, what is?
I don't know who you found last week that was telling me Najee's like the best running back in the NFL. Like, what is even happening?
Steve, you don't. You want to go, Steve? I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan, like the original Star Wars, but like when Obi-Wan says to Luke Skywalker about Mos Eisley, it's a wretched hive of scum and villainy. He might as well have been talking about Mine and Pony's mentions. All right, the people that follow us, you just don't want any part of it, man. Last one, easy one.
Sorry.
Oh, no, 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 please. No, no, what were you going to say?
All I want to say is, like, running back stats, I always say, dependent on the line, it's not a good situation for Najee. But his stats are, like, identical to James Conner's in the last couple of years. Like, are you watching the game?
They are. They still come to that conclusion. What's the best snack to watch Thursday night football or any game with, Steve? What are you going to be settling in on the couch? You're going to have your big grading pad out. You're going to be ready to make some grades and put some color-coded stuff in there, right? Yes, I'm sure it's a grading pad. What is the Steve Palazzolo go-to game-watching snack?
Ooh.
Oh, I like some good sea salt chips. And this sounds terrible. I've been making a lot of popcorn lately, just doused in butter, just making a ton of popcorn.
Dude, so have we at the Mueller house. We've become a big popcorn house again. I don't know what it is.
Popcorn's number one on my snack food power rankings. Popcorn is one. Cool Ranch Doritos are two. And, like, the Snyder pretzels that are, like, broken up.
The pieces?
Yes, are three.
You know what I'm going to throw in there? Combos.
Eh. take
pepperoni pizza combos.
Steve, thank you. We appreciate that kind of analysis.
Can't wait for my popcorn tonight. Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.